If Alec were to be born today, he would be known as a CODA. CODA is an acronym that stands for Child of a Deaf Adult. Alec's mother had been born with a progressive hearing loss, and ultimately she had no sound that she could receive as usable language. He would be so inspired by her needs, her hunger to still function in a hearing world, that he felt himself drawn continuously between both cultures, the deaf world and the hearing world. With a passion for making it better, Alec pursued a career as an educator, one who would impact others with the importance of spoken sound, helping those who could speak to speak more clearly, and trying to lift up those who face communication challenges. He had such a passion for improving the life for those who were hard of hearing or who had no hearing, that he ultimately chose his life partner as one who was deaf as well. And it was this passion to improve the lives of these who were intimate family members of his that kept him centered on his ultimate vision and what he would describe as his purpose in life. Now, there was times along his journey where Alec wrestled with his calling, with his gifts of life. He was a brilliant intellect. But at times in college, in university, he did not excel. He did not exceed. In fact, he had to take a little sideways venture before he ultimately got back on track. But what opened his eyes to recenter himself and refocus himself was the understanding with us as people, when we yearn to accomplish our ultimate purpose, there is traditionally and almost always sacrifice involved. He understood that he would have to work longer hours to stay up, even past his bedtime at times, studying and preparing himself so he could make this world a better image of God's love for those he served, even in the hearing and the non-hearing world. And you know, isn't that the case for many of us? We understand that sacrifice is an important process for us to give up at times those things that are good when we desire what is best. Whether it's deciding not to eat that extra piece of chocolate cake, giving up that willingness to stay up all night playing video games, or consuming too much of our favorite beverage, there is sacrifice in life. The giving up of the things to get the ultimate prize and joy of our salvation. Alec would eventually become an inventor. He was so driven by the pursuit to help people communicate that he began working with the telegraph and ultimately invented what we know today as the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell was driven by this passionate pursuit, we would say, because it was those who were intimate to him, his family, that he sacrificed for ultimately. You know, we wrestled with the gift of Christ's sacrifice a few weeks ago. Prior to Easter, in our fourth Sunday of Lent, I raised with all of us the question, how can someone sacrifice for another when it doesn't benefit themselves? You know, Alexander Graham Bell, if he was sacrificing for a better way of life, we as humans can make concept of that. We give up those things, as we talked about earlier, that we often see as good in pursuit of what is better, true joy and fullness of life. But our wrestling several weeks ago was this: how does a person embrace sacrifice when they themselves don't benefit, but for the benefit of the other? You see, I think Alexander Graham Bell gives us a great example of faith and life and the love of our Lord. It was his understanding that his sacrifice wasn't just for the other, but for those God had entrusted him to love most of all: his family, his friends, the world around him. See, friends, when we are committed to those that God has entrusted us to, we are willing to give up of ourselves so that they may know more joy and fullness in life. That hits central to the call of our text today. This call where Jesus proclaims, "I am the good shepherd," as our text began today. And he says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Friends, that is the ultimate sacrifice. That our holy God would come down from heaven as a Savior to embrace sacrifice, giving of himself, emptying his life that we may have life and have it more abundantly in him. As we consider that imagery of the good shepherd, certainly what comes to mind for any of us is the call to worship, that very familiar psalm that speaks of the great holy shepherd in heaven, where the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, that reminds me, as we consider those words of the psalmist, that when the Lord is our shepherd, if we don't want, that means our desires have been fulfilled. Let me say it this way. Last night we were grilling a steak, and I had planned and prepared a couple of days before. We marinated those steaks. We had them good and ready to go. But you know what? I've been having a hankering for some corned beef hash. Now, Manya doesn't care so much for corned beef hash, so I decided to cook Luke and me a little hash for our appetizer. Well, I don't know a lot, but I know this. If you eat too much of the corned beef hash, there's not going to be much of an appetite left for the good stuff, right? So we ate a small amount. We didn't want to waste it. You know why we didn't want to eat too much? Because we still wanted to want. In our text, the psalmist says this: when the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. In other words, we've been filled with the good steak. We reversed it. We ate the steak first, and there was no room for the corned beef hash. In God, when we fill our heart's desires with the way of God, there is no want for the ways of the world. The opposite is true as well, though, right? If we fill ourselves with the things that take away our joy, if we fill ourselves with the things that lead us away from God's love, there's less room for God. We only have so much time, so much energy that we can invest in life. That's the call of the faith: to sacrifice, to give up the things once again that are good in life for the one who is better. Our scripture, the psalmist said, when the Lord is our shepherd, we don't want what will separate us from his love. But the psalmist also said this. There's two points in that psalm that really speak to me on this day. He said that our shepherd leads us in right paths for his name's sake. In some ways, I find that verse very troubling. It doesn't say that the good shepherd leads us in right paths just for us. In fact, there's a commissioning in some way. Have you ever thought about that? In God's grace for us, in God's love for us that we can't earn and don't deserve. The psalmist says it this way. He leads us in the right path. Yes, so we will know the joy of our salvation, but also for His name's sake. In other words, Jody, it's not all about you. And it's not all for you. God gifts us with grace and blessings for His name's sake, and that we will lift up His name with all around us in glory. Isn't that beautiful? We have a commissioning from God that as we've been blessed to be a blessing to those around us, so that we together will give glory to the Father. That's why we're blessed, for His name's sake. But ultimately, as we consider our sacrifice, it's just a small glimpse of God's greater sacrifice for us. That as we remember, even as we continue journeying through this Easter season, that Jesus embraced the ultimate sacrifice, as our passage began today by saying, the good shepherd lays down his life. Here's how it begins. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But if we read this gospel closely, there's a transition. There's a change in the language Jesus uses about the sheep and about the shepherd. And here's the transition. When Jesus begins to speak in tones that it's not just for the sheep that He gave His life, but it was for His sheep. You see, there's ownership. And when there's ownership, when there's connection, when they become ours, it completely transforms our love that we give to the other, right? Let's say it this way. I was counting our attendance here this morning, and Lamont asked me, he said, now, do you count them like cows? I used to count cows two at a time. And Tommy went on to say, yes, those cattle farmers, they would count their cows every morning. Now, why'd they count them every morning? They wanted to make sure none were lost, right? They were valuable to them. They were theirs. I remember driving between Corinth and Ripley one day, and I got down there just about to go up Tom Ham Hill, and there was a man standing on the side of the road flagging me like this, trying to get me to slow down. I drove a little further, and there's a woman standing on the side of the road, flagging me like this. And there their car was parked. And standing right on the edge of the road was a big old Jersey cow grazing on the shoulder of the road. You know, I thought initially, I thought, boy, those sure are nice, hospitable citizens. They're concerned enough about me that they want me to slow down that I don't hit this cow and mess up my car, right? We know the real story, right? Why were they so concerned about that cow? Because it was theirs. They had an investment. It was owned. Friends, when it's ours, it changes the way we respond to the other around us. I'm convinced, dear church, will you receive this with me today? That the words of life of our Savior when He said, I am the good shepherd and I know who? I know my own, just as the Father knew me. You see, Jesus was willing to sacrifice, to taste death, not simply for all creation, but for all of us, He looks upon as His children worthy of His love. One shepherd, one flock, one Savior, Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, as those claimed by God's grace and nurtured in His love, we are invited to share together in prayers and concerns with one another. Let us now pray for God's people. Oh God, we are grateful the gift of prayer nurtures us and sustains us in our life's journey. We ask, oh God, that you mold us and make us more as your people who embrace our willingness to sacrifice in the way that Christ sacrificed, to give of ourselves for those that we love so that we can share your love with the world around us, not only in what we say, but in what we do. We pray for your church. Wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire and empower your people in ministry so that all the world will come to see and know the life-giving love found in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, for this congregation. We're so blessed by your grace, and we ask that you use us who are blessed to be a blessing to those around us, in the words of the psalmist today, by understanding it's for your name's sake that we serve. We pray for our nation. We ask for healing in our land. We confess together this day our individual sins. Where we're part of the problem, make us part of the solution. We humbly ask, O God, that you heal our land, that you turn us back to you. We ask your blessing on all who provide leadership here locally and beyond. The rich, the powerful, the strong, may you guide them with the spirit of Micah to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in your ways. We pray for the weak and the sick, the lonely and the hurting, the grieving, whether the illnesses be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, or professional, will you bring healing and wholeness to every person as we pray together for one another and with one another. We pray especially for each one that we mentioned in our prayers today, our prayer list, our joys and concerns. Whenever, O God, it can be in accordance with your holy will, you pour forth miracles of grace and healing and wholeness upon those you've entrusted us to most of all, our family, our friends, our church family. We pray for those from whom we're estranged, even enemies, challenges that we face daily. May you bring healing and wholeness to our relationships with one another. And may we, God, never forget that as those blessed by your grace and life, love, and joy, that we, as we are thankful, that we may be a blessing and share your light wherever there's darkness, conquering hate with your love eternal. And now, God, we lift our voices as one and say the words in prayer you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.